Well, I thank you for those of you who came back. We did really have a good time Monday with such a sweet spirit here. I really appreciated that. And what I did Monday, for those who are not here, as I shared my testimony, I like to say more, it was what Jesus worked in me and through me, like Paul says. Was not my experience, it's what he did in me and through me. I think that's a little bit different than just telling your experience. And tonight we're going to talk about healing of the brokenhearted. And I believe this was the psalm that you used, Psalm 147. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now that was the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came, he quoted Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." He's saying, this is the reason I came. I came to heal the brokenhearted. That was my mission. That was the big reason I was sent, was to heal the brokenhearted. And why would that be? Because God knows that man in a world of sin is going to be broken. Because sin breaks us. Sin hurts us. That's why he hates it. Why does he hate sin? Because it's hurting us. When God made us, we were made to live forever. We weren't made to experience death or grief or loss. So we were made to live in a state of continual blessing. Our hearts aren't really up for some bad stuff that the world has to offer. And how important is our heart? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what is our heart. I think it's important because a healed heart, now some other versions call it a sound heart, is life to the flesh. An envy is rottenness to the bones. And that word envy is like jealousy and passion and desire for other things. And I got to get more and I got to do better and I got to, got to, got to, got to, got to. Our flesh gets life from a sound heart. I really love the scripture that says, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you and quickens, makes alive your mortal body. That's why I need that one all the time. Another reason, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So where is the life flow going to come from? It's going to come from within. Where's the kingdom of God? Within. Where's Jesus? Within. Did he go to heaven? He said, I sent the Holy Spirit? Within. It's not far away that someone should go get it for us. It's not in heaven that it should be brought down. It's not down there. It should be brought up. It's right here. The word is near you in your heart and in your mouth. The word of faith that we preach. Keep your heart with all diligence. Here's another important reason our heart's important. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those hearts that are loyal to him. Hearts that are after him. That's hard to do when you're broken. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Another scripture that talks about the heart is the parable of the sower. It talks about the hard heart. The word comes, birds can come and take it away. Satan just snatches it right off the hard heart. Then there's the shallow heart. Oh, that's so wonderful! Little affliction, little persecution, they give it up. Heart condition there. That's a heart condition. The heart that's filled with cares and that envious rottenness, I need more, that desire for other things, deceitfulness of riches. Hey, if we only had money, everything would be okay. I can't say that I've never thought that, because that's what this world system wants you to think. If we only had enough money, then I wouldn't be dealing with this. Well, the Word has answers for that, too. But the good and noble heart, that's our heart, right? I'm claiming that heart tonight. The good and noble heart receives the Word implanted and yields 60, 30, and 100-fold. It just starts flowing out life to me, flowing out life to you, flowing out life because it's a good heart and it's filled with the Word. That's why the heart is important, and that's why we're talking about today. What is the heart of man? Here's some things that I found as definitions. It's the inner man. It's the mind. It's the will. It's the heart. It's the understanding. It's the inward parts. It's the middle. I believe that the heart of man is your spirit and your soul. And if they got outside of you and you could see them, they'd look just like you. It's you. Scripture says that the heart of man is like a mirror. As in water, face answers face, so the heart of man, what is that saying? It's like looking in a mirror. They didn't have mirrors. So they looked in the water. The water is showing back, or the mirror showing back, what's looking in it. Right? We see ourselves. We don't see somebody else. Go, ah, who's that? Our heart shows who we are. Our heart is like our mirror. When we look into someone's heart, that's what we're seeing. And the heart is like a vessel. It's just like our regular heart. If I had my overhead all set up here, I would show you a real heart. But I know you've seen real hearts. But in real hearts, there's rooms, compartments. There's gates, open, close, open, close. And when they're not working right, we're not doing so good. When any part of us that's supposed to close doesn't close, we're not doing very well. When things stay open. So sometimes we know what's in our heart, and sometimes we don't know what's in our heart. The scripture in Psalm 44:21 says, if there's idolatry in the heart, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. There are things in our hearts. If you don't know the Spirit of God, you will never get those out of there. Because we've tucked them way down and we slammed the door. We don't even want to know they're in there. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So these compartments, we put things in there that we treasure, that we want to hide. One of the easiest ways to find out what's in your heart is to listen. Jesus says, out of the good treasure of a good man's heart, he brings forth good. And out of the evil treasure of an evil man's heart, he brings forth evil. And how does that stuff get in there? How does evil get in there? Well, one of the ways, I try to forget this because it's been so long since I've heard this, but I'm going to try to remember this from the old days, is when a spirit of strife comes to you, he's trying to get strife down in your heart. And this is how one of the ways he does it. Because this is planting. Remember the sower? The Lord says he sows the word and it grows. Well, the enemy has to use that same method too. He just doesn't say one day, hey, I'm the devil and I want you to have some strife. He doesn't do that. But he'll come to you and you'll hear this. And you start to hear an argument with a person who's not even there. You imagine what they're saying. And then you imagine what you'd say back. And then you're imagining what they would say. And then you're imagining what you would say back. What's happening when that's going on? We're tucking that down in there. And how many of you know what it's like to hold a beach ball under the water? It's coming out. Anybody ever? I'm the only one? that you rehearsed something and then you got shook and, oh man, I didn't want that to come out. Well, don't let it go in there then. We'll learn a little bit about that. What happens is when we tuck those things down in there, when we get shook, it comes out. If I shake the cup, does what comes in the cup come out because I shook it or because it was in there? Sometimes you just have these precious little exchanges with God that you just have to write in your journal and keep forever because they were just so wonderful. And we have 6 children, but when I only had 5 and they were small, I said to the Lord, if I didn't have these children, I would never raise my voice. I would never be upset. I would never be stressed out. And I kind of expected the reprimand from that, but he didn't say that. He said, you're right. That's true. But it would still be in you. See, they just shake it out of you. But it would still be there. And I did realize, I didn't know that I was a selfish person until I had my first child. You know, they're just so demanding. You know, by the time I had 6, I didn't even know what that meant anymore of being selfish, but I really got to see what was in me. And see, what happens when you get married or you have a child, now you have this close relationship. They shake you more than anybody else, don't they? I mean, there's not very many people in the world that can push my buttons, but one of them might be in this room because he knows where they are. No, it's not that. It's where we're close. When we've opened ourselves in intimacy to someone, the shaking is a lot more easy to do. And it's also just the demand. When you have children, you have responsibilities, there's more shaking. There's more things that you have to take care of. So the heart is like a vessel and it can hold things. And it's where we reason. It's where we store. We put things in the room. I think most of us can guess what causes a broken heart because most of us have had these things. Broken relationship. You know why 13-year-olds shouldn't be dating? Because they're not in a place to handle a broken relationship yet. Not that it's better when you're older, but they're much more devastated. Disappointments, betrayals, misunderstandings. Misunderstandings is the biggest thing I find in the body of Christ between people that causes brokenness within us. I remember we were in the young couples ministry and we just got started and we were just moved into a new house and I get the call. Can you pick up some Valentines for our meeting tonight? And I'm thinking, Valentines, I can probably get some for $3.50. Would that check bounce? But because I hesitated, they thought I didn't want to be involved. Now, because I wasn't honest, and they weren't honest at the moment, I went on my way and I said, yes, I'll get them. I figured, got to be $3 in there. Yeah. And I went and got the Valentine's, but I felt a little stress over it. Well, she held that for months that I wasn't cooperative or I didn't want to help her and I somehow did it under duress. And then when I explained to her, she goes, oh, I totally understand. That makes perfect sense. Misunderstanding. Discouraging words. We've all heard some of those. Rejection, unforgiveness, being blamed for something, being accused, contempt, shame, failure, a violation of trust, and loss and grief. These are all things that are results from sin and death that can cause your heart to be broken. Now, some of the symptoms, you say, well, do I have a broken heart? I'm going to tell you a little bit how I knew that I had a broken heart later, but I'm going to tell you some of the outward manifestations of a broken heart. Remembering the and meditating and rehearsing the past hurt. Going over it again. Then we talk about it again. Can't let it go. Just can't let it go. Self-pity. Nobody cares about me. Poor me. Sighing. Sadness. Doesn't sound like one of those antidepressant commercials here pretty soon. Depression, heaviness, sickness, fatigue, loss of joy, guilt, condemnation, inability to move on. They forgive, but it comes back. I know I forgive them. I went through the whole thing. I prayed with the counselor. Lord, I forgave them. Why is this back? Well, when you have a crack in your heart, the love of God kind of just leaks out and it comes back. Because we're cracked. Grief, easily offended. Do you know that the people that are the most easily offended are usually the most offensive people you can meet? Because they get that offensiveness in there and they just start upchucking it on everybody else. Now this last one, I saved this one for last because this one was me. Doesn't laugh out loud. I would not have known this was me, except for one day after we were married, maybe 2 years, he goes, you know, you never laugh out loud. And I thought, really? So I didn't know. But because somebody had brought it to my attention, then I started to realize it. Well, then after I got my heart healed, I just had belly laughs all over the place. I think it's part of, you know, that heart being broken. Can't put a belly laugh together because this is where it comes from, where that brokenness is. Brokenness can allow the enemy to torment you. Now, I want you to get this. The enemy never has a legal right to you. Don't let anybody ever say, well, you did this and that gave the enemy a legal right to do this and that. No. Jesus went to the cross. He became a curse for us. You have been totally set free. But the reason he gets to you, if I leave the car door open and someone takes my stereo, does that mean he had a legal right to my stereo because I left the car door open? No. I just made it easier for him. But he still didn't have a legal right to it. And that's what happens with a broken heart. Kind of leave some cracks open for them. And that's how when we start hearing those things, we just let them come in. Sometimes you might hear God's breaking your will. And there's a brokenness to be understood. When Jesus went to the cross and he said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Some people call that brokenness. But he's not breaking you down like a horse. You know, I don't know if any of you ever had horses, but when you have a new colt and you want to break the horse, we tie them up and we sack them down with gunny sacks until they don't move. We're breaking his will. We're breaking his fight to us. God doesn't do that. Psalm says, don't be like the mule or the horse that I have to put a bit in his mouth or else he won't come near me. That brokenness is you come to him willingly, not my will, but thine be done. So that's a little bit of a different thing. One of the things I thought was so interesting, when Jesus is going to the cross, he tells Peter to get a sword. And Peter was going to load up. He goes, no, just one. That's enough. That'll do. So Peter brings the sword. And when they come to take Jesus, what do you think Peter would think? I'm ready. I'll fight you to the death here. And slices off the ear of the servant. I believe the reason that the Lord said, go get a sword, because I've meditated on this for about 6 years now. Why'd you tell him to get the sword? He wanted to show them, I'm willingly laying my life down. We could fight. but we're not going to. Put your sword away. Heal the ear. Peter wasn't up for, you mean we're just going to lay down? Without fight? See, he willingly gave himself to us. I just think that's really important we know. That he willingly laid down his life for us. And another thing about Satan has no right to us. Remember the lady that was like this? And what did Jesus say? Should not this daughter of Abraham be loosed from her oppression today, her infirmity, and pulled her up? When I was a little girl, my father said, sit up straight, sit up straight, sit up straight. I couldn't sit up straight because I was oppressed. And probably if I didn't get born again, and I didn't get filled with spirit, and I didn't get set free, I might be going down like this when I'm 90 years old. Because Satan comes and he takes your heart and he presses it down. That's oppression. And one day I was just praising God. I was having just a nice time. I think I was by myself. And I felt my heart lift from here up to the top of my head. I thought I was really good. I thought I might be in heaven the next minute because it was coming up fast. He goes, no, I'm just bringing you up where you need to be. I didn't have a problem sitting up straight anymore because that was gone. Now, this was another scripture that I used to think, what does this mean? What does this mean? It says the spirit of a man, okay, that's my spirit, is the lamp or the candle of the Lord, searching the inner depths of the heart. So once the Lord and your spirit has become alive, the Lord uses your spirit like a flashlight, searching out stuff. I knew something wasn't quite right in my heart. I just couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what to do. So what I would do is I'd just say, Lord, I just open my heart to you by faith because I can't do it. I've opened my heart to you as much as I possibly can. And I know there's something still there. So by faith, you do it. You open my heart. I open my heart to you. So that flashlight went in there. It says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord searching the inner depths of his heart. And that word, inner depths of the heart, literally means rooms and chambers. Searching out the rooms and chambers of the heart. What's in there? Now, you have to be willing to let him show you what's in there. We don't always like to look. Getting set free from things is not always what we think is a fun time. It's good when it's done, but we don't like looking at it. Now, why would I have to have my heart healed? The Word of God says we're healed. By Jesus' stripes we are healed. It says we are complete in Him. He was wounded for our transgression. How could I have gone 6 years after being born again and still have a broken heart? How's that even happen? Well, one night, I had all the children to bed. That's a miracle right there. John was out, just in the living room, sitting there by myself, just praising the Lord. And he says, I'm going to show you your heart. Your heart is open, wounded, and bleeding because you don't believe anybody loves you for just you. You think people only love you because you do things for them. Now, if you told me a week before this happened, you don't believe your dad loves you, you don't believe your husband loves you, I would have said you're crazy. That's crazy talk. I know better than that. But when he showed me that, can you believe they love you just because you're a neat person? Not because you meet a need in their life. Not because they have a responsibility for you. You're just a neat person to, and anyone would be blessed to know you. I didn't know that. Now, the reason I didn't get totally healed in that 6 years is there was a lie in the heart. See, when the reason the crack couldn't come together is a lie was stuck in the crack. Now, I used this example before, and I thought, well, maybe I can't use this example anymore because my daughter and my son-in-law have never seen Star Wars. So if you're here and you've never seen Star Wars, then you're going to say, well, that example doesn't make any sense to me. But when Luke Skywalker is shining up R2-D2 and he says, huh, you got something wedged in there, and out pops a little movie. Well, that was what was happening with me. I had something wedged in there. And there comes the Holy Spirit, and he's cleaning it. Out comes this thing. And when he told me that, he goes, here's your heart. That's a condition your heart's in today. I felt the pain in my heart that he was showing me. And I just said, Lord, you know, I give you all of that, and I trust you. And then, right at that moment, John comes home. I told him what, so he was right there, right at the moment, to pick me up and to pray for me to have my heart healed. And what that did for me at that moment is, and what I knew is, from this moment on, I'm going to be able to grow properly. Because rejection gets in there when that lie's wedged in there. So I got delivered from the rejection. And you know how when you hear something and then much, much later you remember that and it kind of helps you get through what you're going through today? And I remember my pastor's wife from years ago teaching on when you have rejection long enough, your next step is resentment. And your next step after that is rebellion. And after I got my heart healed and I got rid of that rejection, the next 2 days, I would hear a resentment coming out. Oh, yeah, I resent that, too. Oh, yeah, I resent that, too. Because they were coming out. They were set free out of their little locked up, you know, their little locked up place, and they were getting out. And I was getting free from them, and I was sending them away. Well, when I got through all of those resentments and got them all out the door, threw them all out, and I went to sleep that night. When I woke up that morning, it was just as if my life had always been good. I could look back. There was nothing bad back there. It was like every day of my life had always been a perfect life. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So, everyone may not have that same lie in there. Another lie that people go through is God's mad at you. You've done too much. It's too late for you. You've done too many bad things. You can't come back. God's mad at you. In Isaiah, one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 54, it says, for this, the new covenant, is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I had sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. See, almost all of the scriptures in Psalms and almost all of the scriptures in Isaiah are talking about Jesus. The covenant, the new covenant between God and Jesus. All the promises were to the seed. Not to the seeds as to many, the seed as to the one. And what happens when we get born again? We die, right? Go down in the water, come up in the newness of life. Now I'm in Christ Jesus. So because I'm in Christ Jesus, now all the blessings are mine. All of that, he'll never be angry with you again. All of that is mine. Stay in Christ Jesus. Don't deal with God. Oh, here I am, so-and-so, messed up again. He's not looking for that. He's looking for a person to say, I believe what Jesus did. I'm in Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me and loved me. And I am in him and he's in God. That's your new identity. As long as you stay with the old identity, it's going to be rough going. You still go to heaven, but it's going to be rough going here. When you're going to relate to everything you do good and everything that you do bad and not in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus came to the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac, and he was in the tombs, he was living in the tombs. Well, what do tombs stand for? It's a memorial of death. He was remembering everything. He was living in the tombs. Ugh. Yuck. He was living in the graveyard. And Jesus comes and the demoniac says, what do you have in common with me? Is the actual literal translation. Some translations, what do I have to do with you or what do you have to do with me? What is in me that's in common with you? Because he was not seeing anything. And what I found, as in maintaining the heart, is to not have anything in common with the enemy. Now, what do you mean by that? I'll just give you an example. When poverty comes to me, spirit of poverty, spirit of lack, I want him to say, I can't find any place in you. We have nothing in common because the blessing's in there. So that poverty can't find a place. Well, when there's little cracks, that's when he tries to wedge in. He says, you're not good enough. Those people, they have that, but you'll never have that. That's what that lie comes in that little crack. So healing of the brokenhearted, how do we get that? We receive it. We receive it by faith. That's what he came for. So that's pretty easy to receive, right? It's easy to receive when you know the will of God. It's hard to receive when you don't know what God wants for you. Like, how can you anchor yourself into that when you don't know? We know he came to heal the brokenhearted. And so how do I, let's say, just some more heart maintenance here. Let's say the spirit of lack comes to me, and now I'm starting to think lack. Well, we better not pay that, because when we might not have enough money for this, or what's going on there in the heart? I'm starting to lack's finding a place to talk in me, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, I put off that old man, and I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm going to fill that spot in my heart. How am I going to do that? Blessing of the Lord makes me rich. He adds, I'm losing things here. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And I might say that day after day after day after day after day after day, because I'm not trying to get God to accept me. All I'm trying to do is fill that heart with the Word of God. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. Heart maintenance. So that when the enemy comes, that heart is so full, and that spirit of lack or spirit of infirmity or something comes at me, I go, no. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the son and daughter of the Most High God. Lack. Just flick it off. Go away. But when I hear myself inside saying something that's not in harmony with the word, what do I know? I gotta put some heart's low. It's like the car needs gas. Heart needs some word. Because I want the enemy to come and say, I can't find any place to attach myself. There's nothing there. I can't find a little place to get in. And that is the sound heart. And I want to wrap this up with a scripture from Psalm 68, 10 through 13. And you can read that whole thing and write that down, but this is the part I wanted to make note of. It's a cry to God to unite my heart. See, the heart can be a broken heart, can be a divided heart. You can do things by heart. So the heart's very, very important central part of who we are. And I'm asking God to unite my heart, that I don't have a double-minded heart, that I don't have a divided heart anymore, that I have a whole, healthy heart. And I think that is going to cover it for tonight. And what I want to do is pray for you. I always want to give everyone an opportunity if they have not made Jesus Lord of their life. And my testimony, if you weren't here the other night, when I talked about the person you talk about the most, or thing, and you think about the most, that's your Lord right now. That's who you're making Lord. Because the heart goes after what it values. And when I made Jesus Lord, he showed me, in your heart, Jesus is not number one. He's number eight. And I went, oh, that's not right. I'm making him Lord today. That was my salvation. To make him Lord. See, some of these are just heart checks. What do you think about the most? What do you talk about the most? What do you value the most? What you value, you're wanting. You're going after it when you value it. And if anyone wants to be prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, we want to do that too. And if this spoke to anybody about being brokenhearted, I want to pray for you. Do you want to come up?